Hallelujah. I don't know if all of you heard what Carolyn said a minute ago, but I'll tell you, it went off in my mind like a bomb. That God, and I believe this, I really, truly, honestly believe this. God has sent revival to this country so many times, and He sent it in so many ways that the new way that He sent it, the old people didn't believe that it was real revival. The Whitfield revival, when it was replaced by the Kentucky Canebrake revival, the people said, this can't be revival because it's not like the way it was with us. But I believe that God spoke through Carolyn tonight and said the revival that's coming that we have no point of reference for. Did you hear what I said? We have no point of reference for what God wants to bring. I don't know about you, but buddy, I'll tell you, that excites me. That excites me. It may take us people looking for revival, it may take us a few months to wake up and say, it's here. Amen. It's here. Hallelujah. Amen. I want to talk to you for just a few minutes tonight. If you got your Bibles, I want you to turn to Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9, and we want to look at verse 14, I believe it is. We'll start at verse 13 just so maybe it makes sense. Reading out of the New Living Translation. Under the old system, the blood of goats and bulls and the ashes of a young cow could cleanse people's bodies from ceremonial impurities. Just think how much more the blood of Christ will purify your consciences. How much more the blood of Christ will purify your consciences from sinful deeds, so that we can worship the living God. I want to talk tonight a little bit about worshiping the living God. People have problems with worship, especially when they run into people like you.
That's right. Come on, Pastor.
My Lord. Mexican jumping beans in your socks. Amen. People have problems with worship. You've heard me say, and it's just such a truth, that unless there's an organ playing in the service, we haven't really worshiped. When I was 14 years old, I went back to the Catholic Church, St. Joe's down here, to play a guitar for their graduation mass. And when I played guitar in that graduation mass for the eighth graders that were graduating, It was not the most appropriate thing to do for a lot of those people in that congregation. You just didn't do that. You played an organ. You spoke in Latin. That was how you worshiped. We have churches today. God bless their hearts. If you don't sing "A Mighty Fortress Is Our God," you go out of the church. You didn't worship. The reason that people have difficulty with worship, I think, is found in the words that the writer of the Hebrews wrote here. Because we've not had our consciences cleaned. Under the old law, he says, the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer, sprinkling the unclean, could cleanse your bodies from evil deeds. But it's not about having your body cleansed from evil deeds. That's not the problem. If your body is dirty, you can get a good thing of soap and clean your body. But the problem is there's no soap to clean the mind. And people have a hard time entering into the fullness of worship Because there's garbage in the head. I'll be honest with you tonight, I had a change in me during worship. Amen. When I walked up that aisle, the last thing I wanted to do was worship. I had my little baby great-granddaughter just snatched out of my arms today and hauled off back to Denver because Grandma wanted her. Brother, I came very near to losing my sanctification totally. And I've been upset about it all day long. It has festered all day long. You guys have never been there, but this is what happens. You sit there and you think about things and it grows. The situation changes from they took her to you see how she was dressed. Did you see what kind of stupid car they drove? You know how dumb you are, woman. It's this stupid thing. It's just this crazy thing they call a mind. But my wife and I sat in the chair. I sat in my chair today, and I was just reading through the scriptures, and something began to work on me about having our conscience cleansed. See, if I'd have come up this aisle and felt like that, and got on that guitar and felt like that the whole time, I'd have never entered into worship. You all were. You were all glorifying God. And I was like a big stinking stump. But the end of the words of that song, He's made all things work together for my good. Things begin to turn over in your mind in the name of Jesus just begins to. We begin to sing like, take me past the outer courts. Get past the garbage that's surrounding me. Get me past the stuff that's striving to get my attention. Get me past all that and just let me get to the holy place. But you see, I can't get there. And God's speaking to me, you can't come here until you got to get your head straight. What a wonderful way to come to church, amen? Especially for the preacher. Good Lord. You're supposed to be like that. I'm supposed to come and be able to articulate the truths of the Bible as spoken to me by God. Well, I'm just a branch. That's all I am. I'm just a branch. But as this began to happen in my mind, in my heart, and I began to cry out to God, as Dave was exhorting us to cry out to God, I began to cry out to God in my spirit. And suddenly, it was real easy to get into a worship of God. Why is that? Because God has cleansed our consciousness from sinful deeds by the blood of Christ. I don't got to think no more about bulls and goats and ashes. The blood of Christ has one time gone into the holy place and paid for all of my sin. And he says, Chuck, if you confess your sins, I will forgive your sins. And I'll cleanse you from all unrighteousness. And Bo, now you can sing. Hallelujah, now you can sing. Amen. Turn back to that book of Romans, if you will. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Romans chapter 12. I thought you guys, didn't you have a spirit of discernment there? Praise God. So where are you going on your bikes now? You guys have got to be all inspired. I'm going to ride over to Mike Valdez's house tomorrow. Amen. Get on my little Oh, praise God. Cool. Cool. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. And you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses. You don't need paper from nowhere. Unless you're going to get a church that pays a huge salary, then you got to come with all the paperwork. But God didn't call you to do that. He called us to talk to the people around us about Jesus. Amen. And I'm going to get on my silver mongoose and I'm going to ride all the way to Mike's house tomorrow.
Your brother?
No, Mike Valdez. Yeah. Amen. Yes, amen. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God. Why? Because of all that He has done for you. Let them be living, a living and holy sacrifice, the kind He will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship Him. Wait a minute, my Bible don't say that. Well, good, that one does. My Bible says it's a reasonable act of service. No, that's not the good word. Get out your ballpoint pen and write inside there what it really means. This is truly the way to worship God. I love worship and I encourage worship. I tell people, and I don't say it to be funny or comical or anything, I mean it. If you feel like lying on the floor to worship God, you do that. I'll walk over your body. If you want to sit in a seat and raise your hands, you do that. If you want to kneel at your seat and pray, you do that. If you want to come to the altar and do that. If God tells you to go over the corner and stand on your head and stack little red hymnals, you go do that. You worship Him. Because God is looking for worshipers. If God is looking for something that perhaps I can be, let me get in the front of the line. I want to be the first one there. He's looking for worshipers. Our hearts would say, "Here, Lord, here am I. Pick me, pick me, pick me." So the Holy Spirit has given some instruction now, real instruction. Give your bodies to God because all He has done for you. I got no problem with that. God, this little fat frame is all yours because of what you did for me. Amen. The problem is sometimes I get like, God, I give you this little fat frame, but just give me a couple of weeks, okay? I got a hunting trip coming up and I got a big fishing trip coming up, and I got this stuff, and as soon as I get back, I'll get my body back to you. He's got a lot of work to do in this body. He doesn't say that. He doesn't say that I'll give you this body as soon as I get back from VN nails and I have little burnt fingernails. Did Bridget get those burnt fingernails? Burnt paper fingernails? Yeah, she sent a picture on Facebook. They do things to fingernails. It looks like burnt paper. You know how you burn paper and they got little holes in them and stuff? It looks just like that. As soon as I get back from VN nails, God, I will worship you. But they gave me, for Pastor Appreciation Sunday, they gave me a full body massage. And as soon as I get that done, then I'll come and then I'll worship you. If we could see that in action, it would be putting a set of fingernails in front of God. It would be putting a fishing trip in front of God. You know what he said? I will have nothing before me. My glory I will not share with another. And sometimes I think we have problems with worship because in between our ears we have not come to the place of having our conscience totally cleansed from dead works to worship the living God. But we try because we're expected to. We're expected to worship. We're expected to clap our hands and stomp our feet. We're expected to. I know the words of the song, so let her rip. But yet when it's all over with, I sit down and I don't even remember what I just did. I don't even remember the thought that went along in a song that moved me to do what I did. And we become people again. People who God is calling to be worshipers. When you go into the military, you're called to be a soldier. But there are those in those soldier ranks that are called to be something else. Some are called to jump out of perfectly good airplanes. Some are called to jump out of perfectly good airplanes and go in the jungle where they don't and eat snakes and stuff. But some are called to come away from what everybody else is and be something totally different than somebody else. That's God's calling. And if we all listen to that calling, pretty soon this herd is here. One is here. This herd is minus two because two are here. Then this herd is minus five because five are here. Then we come, the herd is gone. The herd is all over here. We've moved. We've gone from glory to glory. We get to the place that we're not comfy where once we were. We got to get somewhere else. Here comes the sissy voice again.
Hallelujah.
I have, yes, I've got one. I'm watching what I'm doing with this cough drop too because I don't want to hit Suzanne right in the forehead with it. God is calling us to go into something where we've never been before. And that realm of worship can be that place. How long did people cry out to something in the sky? A bright globe that came up in the morning and then it went to bed at night, and then a little white one went and followed it to bed. And then God revealed himself, who he was. Called Abraham out of a place where they had so many gods. You just had these big herds of gods in your house. And one God calls him, and I want you to come. I want you to worship one God. Just one. And when you worship that one God, when things got to be just the way God wanted it, the kabod, the glory of God would fall and push people into the very floor. They couldn't even minister the way they should minister. God is still doing that with worshipers. He's still calling us to do that. If we are willing to be a living, holy sacrifice. Somebody tell me what a sacrifice is. Yeah. That's good. That's good right here. A sacrifice is giving something that you don't expect to get back. You give something and you know it's not coming back. When you took the lamb to the priest, you knew that a blade was going against that lamb's throat and that lamb was not coming back. These are words that are rich. They are full for Jewish people of their days. They knew what sacrifice was. When you give it, you don't ask for it back. There is no such thing as an Indian giver when it comes to sacrifice. You give it, it's gone. It ain't coming back. And now God is calling us to do the same thing. To every day, get out of our beds, brush our teeth, suds our bodies, and crawl up on that sacrificial altar. That's what he's calling us to do every single day. That doesn't make Christianity really popular. That every day I am not my own. What do? I lay on an altar. What's your hobby? Laying on an altar. What do you do for kicks? I lay on an altar. What are you all about? I'm a sacrifice. Holy and acceptable to God. And what that means, what that takes, what that requires, is what the chapter goes on to say. And be not conformed to this world. Don't be pushed into a shape like the world. But be transformed. Not conformed, but transformed. That's got a little element of the Twilight Zone in it, you know? That's like, wow. I don't have to put on new clothes. I don't have to put on a dress that goes to the floor. I don't have to wear a collarless shirt anymore. I don't have to wear a black hat and a white shirt. It means that I've got to be transformed. Now I'm really going to be different. How? By the renewing of your mind. How in the world can you do that? Well, he told us. The blood of Christ cleanses your conscience. We come to God and say, God, okay, I am ready. Once again, the blood of Christ and the power that came from his sacrifice cleanse my mind that I might worship you, the one true God. That you might prove what is the good, what is the acceptable, and what is the perfect will of God. You know, God's got a good will. We get in that one pretty good. I mean, we function in that a lot of the time. Sometimes we even get out to the acceptable, I guess. We step into this, well, it's not really it, but it's acceptable. Term I hated, and all the time I was in the Army, the term I hated the worst was, it's close enough for government work. So we don't prove what is the acceptable will of God. I want to be in that good will of God. No, I want to be moving from the acceptable to the good, to the perfect will of God for my life. What is that perfect will of God for my life? I'm a sacrifice. I live on an altar. And I worship my God. And I worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I worship Him who sent His Son that I could be like Him. I worship Him who sent His Son that I might know who You are like, Father. I worship You because You sent Your Holy Spirit so that I could be empowered in my life to fight the battles that go on in my life every day between these two ears. I worship You. It's not all about singing real loud. It's not about dancing. It's not about clapping. It's about having a transformed mind to see Him for who He is. The word that's most commonly translated worship in the New Testament is a Greek word that means to lie down flat in front of, to lie down in obeisance to. When the king came in the room, people laid on the floor in front of him. That's what worship means. That's what it means. That when He comes in, my spirit bows before Him to such a place that I realize I am nothing except what He has made me. And when we come to that attitude, we come with that attitude. He reaches down and He grabs us by the hand. He stands us up. He says, dance. Sing. Clap your hands. Be happy. For I have made you to be this way. Why do we fail in worship across this great Christian church? It's all up here. It's all up here. Sometimes I think maybe it might be because we don't dress right. I could see you guys worshiping in three-piece suits. Ties. Oh, you could do it. I know you could. I know you could. You guys could worship in burlap and ashes. We need to change our mind about who God is, and we need to every day, every day, every day. I will begin my worship of You, Lord, by crawling up on my altar and offer You today a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto You. If there's something that's not acceptable, Lord, fix it. I just want to be like You. Amen? Amen. I believe that's the heart of worship. I believe that's the heart of a true worshiper, is to be able to say, like my brother did, what's a sacrifice? Right here. I'm a sacrifice. Amen. Willing to show the world I'm a sacrifice. Amen. Father, You have been so awesome to us tonight. I know there are a lot of things that are going on in this world. But Lord, You thought that we were important enough to come to 1140 I Street in Salida, Colorado, and just to move around this building and to touch us where we needed to be touched. You have allowed us to sing Your praises. You have allowed our hearts to pour out worship to Your glory. And we thank You. My prayer tonight is, Lord, that we do not leave this here tonight. That this is just not a thing that happened tonight, but it will happen again in the morning. When I arise, I reach out, I feel Your hand, and of my own volition, I will say, Father, let me get up here to be a sacrifice to You. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Hallelujah.